is the bride of Christ according to the scripture? The church teaches that the bride of Christ is the church at large. But what does the Bible say? Let's talk more about it today.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of Antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Well, greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we begin a new series today on the remnant bride. Traditionally, the church has taught that the bride of Christ is the church. But the Bible says differently. The Bible shows very clearly, both by word and inference, that the bride of Christ is the remnant. The remnant, a group raised by God sovereignly from the time of Enoch until the present, in every generation, a people who would walk without compromise, in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, through the Word, the water, and the blood alone, with no doctrines of men. The word remnant in both the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament actually means escapee, the escapees, so to speak. In Romans 11:5, it says, "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." The remnant is raised by grace, God's favor toward us, His love toward us, His victory toward us, His empowerment of us, His perfection of us. These are all the aspects of grace, and it is this election through grace that God uses in order to raise the remnant. God is still raising a remnant in this day and age. As a matter of fact, in Romans 9, it says that God will raise a remnant of Israel. But in Romans chapters 1 and 2, it says God's ministry is to the Jew first and then the Greek. And then in Romans 2, it says to the Jew first and then the Gentile. That means the church. So if God raises a remnant of Israel in the last days, God will raise a remnant of the church in the last days because of the fact that His ministry is to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And so Romans 11:5 tells us, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now that word remnant is used not only in the New Testament, but it is used in the Old Testament. And the interesting thing about it is that when it is used in the Old Testament and New Testament, it is always used in two contexts. One, to show the righteousness of a people within Israel, or within the group of Israel, and two, to also show to also show that there is a relationship between being remnant and escaping. In Zephaniah 3:13, we read, "The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid." In Ezekiel 6:8, the Lord said, "Yet will I leave a remnant, that you may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations when you shall be scattered through the countries." In Ezra 9:8, the scripture says, "And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." In 2 Chronicles 30, verse 6, we read, "So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the command of the king, saying, 'Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and He will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria.'" Watch this. In 2 Kings 19:30 and 31, we read, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this." In Isaiah 10:20 we read, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth." He continues in verse 21 and 22, "The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness." There is the relationship between righteousness and escape. In Haggai 1:14, we read, "And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God." There is no question that when we study the scripture, it becomes very clear that God is raising a remnant, and that this remnant is associated with two things: righteousness, which is God's standard, and escape. Now, this is an interesting thing, because God's standard is in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all else will be given you besides. Notice that the requirement of Scripture to be remnant is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not his righteousness plus man's righteousness, his righteousness alone. Anything other will not do. And the reason for that is because of the fact that it is not God's standard. I often tell people God has a standard, and he does not lower his standard because of man's ignorance. What does that mean? It means that we have to go up to God's standard, and we have to do what is right in the sight of God in order to be in right relationship with him, because the word righteousness comes from the Old English word right wiseness, which means right standing or right relationship with God. Therefore, there is only one standard, and that standard is his righteousness alone. That means the word of God alone for us to live by and to be our standard. Both the Logos word and the Rhema word, as a matter of fact. So, anything other than this, which is a mixture, that is God's righteousness plus man's righteousness, would not be God's standard and would be a violation of Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all else will be given you besides. Now, notice that if that's true, then there is a problem with denominationalism in general, because what makes a denomination is every denomination says to every other denomination, we have a denominational doctrine and exclusive interpretation of the Word of God, which makes us different than you, and ours is correct. If you ever stop to think about that, correction, Mikey. If you ever stop to think about that, that's what makes denominations denominations. That's what causes the division in the body of Christ, because every denomination has to justify its existence. And so we have 18,000 different denominations worldwide, and maybe more. And if that's true, that means that there are 18,000 different forms of man's righteousness. But that is not God's standard. As a matter of fact, that's the sin of the Pharisees, isn't it? Because when Jesus dealt with the Pharisees, he dealt with them harshly because of the fact that they were imposing upon men doctrines and traditions. Excuse me, Mikey. They were imposing upon men doctrines and traditions and observances which they had created in order to keep men subject to them. So you had a circumstance of men leading men rather than the Holy Spirit leading men. And that is man's righteousness. What did Jesus say about it? He said to the apostles, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, they're not going. Why were they not going? Because they were establishing their own righteousness before God. What do denominations do today by their denominational doctrines and traditions, teaching the Word of God plus the Word of man? They do the same thing as the Pharisees. They establish their own righteousness before God. You see, no other way can be had to conclude that if you are supporting a denomination, then what you are doing is excluding yourself from the remnant because your very presence sanctions what they are doing. And it's Phariseeism. Now, I preach a lot about this. There's a lot of people out there that don't agree with me, but that's okay. They'll find out. The Holy Spirit will convict them of the truth of the Word of God, because all denominationalism is man's righteousness plus God's righteousness, which is the Word of God. And you say, well, Byrne, where are these other traditions and these other observances and all of these things that these denominations have that you say they have? I go to church on Sunday and all I hear is Jesus being preached. Well, all you need to do is contact their central offices and ask them to send you a copy of their constitutions. Every denomination has to have a constitution to exist, to define what they are and what they believe and what their standard is and what their purpose is. And if you read the constitution of a particular denomination, you'll see included in it the righteousness of man and man's ideas mixed with God's ideas. It's very clear and it's very certain. And so, God is raising a remnant in the last days, and the scripture will show us that it is this remnant that is the bride of Christ, not the church at large. The scripture talks about born-again believers being in two different categories, the bride of Christ and the friends of Christ. And the standard to be remnant is to seek first the kingdom of God alone in his righteousness, not his righteousness plus man's righteousness, and all else will be given you besides. Now, if you understand that, then you'll be able to understand that in God's eyes, nothing else will do to be acceptable to him for a person to be considered a remnant bride member. And it's an important concept to grasp and to understand, because the word remnant means escapee. And is there something that the remnant bride will escape? Yes, the great tribulation, which is about to come upon the earth for 7 years. You see, the church has traditionally taught that it is the bride of Christ. The church at large, all born again Christians, are the bride of Christ. And the premise upon which that is taught has been the understanding that everybody is equally saved by grace through faith. And that because we are saved by grace through faith, that will entitle us to a pre-tribulation rapture. But guess what, friends? That's not what the Word of God says. And the reason is because the Word of God is very clear that the problem, or the issue as I call it, was not or is not an issue of salvation. Being part of the remnant bride is not an issue of salvation. Salvation is a free gift, which you and I cannot earn nor deserve. That isn't the issue. The issue of being part of the remnant bride, the escapees who become the true bride of Christ, is not an issue of salvation. It is an issue of rewards. In Hebrews 11:6, this is clearly defined. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Notice the relationship of this verse to Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all else will be given you besides." Not his righteousness, but... correction, Mikey. Not his righteousness and man's righteousness, but his righteousness alone. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek, seek, seek. The scripture doesn't say you have to be perfect at it. All the scripture says is that you have to seek it. And then going back to Hebrews 11:6, notice what it says. "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is." The word believe there means trust. and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. And then, in Revelation 22, verse 12, the Lord said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." To give every man according as his work shall be. So the question of becoming part of the remnant bride is not an issue of salvation, it's an issue of rewards. It's an issue based upon how sincerely, how dedicated we are, and how committed we are to seeking him and his righteousness alone. One of the things that I often teach publicly in the church is that the problem with the end time church is that it fails to recognize that the apostasy has come upon the church. The word apostasy is in the New Testament, and it is part of a prophetic verse regarding the end time. In Thessalonians, it says that in the last days the apostasy would come. What is the apostasy? The apostasy is the falling away from the truth of the Word of God as originally given. In other words, the church will move into error. And that is not only doctrinal error, but it is conceptual error. But listen to me, folks. We have the Holy Spirit upon us who are born again and Spirit-filled. We have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who is called in the Gospel of John the Teacher, and who is able to lead us into all truth. So just because the apostasy has come upon the end time church, that does not mean that we have to participate in it. No, we can rely on the Holy Spirit, who will show us the truth of the Word. We don't have to listen to what apostate men in apostate positions in apostate churches have to say about the Word of God, preaching their doctrines plus the doctrines of Christ, and leading us into error and stealing from us our reward as a remnant bride member, which is God's will for us. Luke 21:36, "Pray that you may be made able to escape all that is about to come to pass upon the earth, and to stand before the Son of Man." Well, if you may be made able to escape, then you are remnant and a remnant bride member. And Jesus says, "Pray that you may be made able. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you." Matthew 7:7. And so if you understand these concepts, God is willing and able and desiring and wanting to have you in the remnant bride membership, because the scripture says, "Whosoever will, let him come to the waters." Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to come to the waters? Are you ready to receive the gift of eternal life from Christ Jesus? Are you ready to become part of the remnant bride by getting yourself into a non-denominational, Spirit-filled, Bible-believing and teaching church, getting water baptized by immersion? If you are willing, God is willing. You say, "Well, it's too late for me. No, nothing can help me. I'm too far gone. I'm caught up in this stuff I'm in, and there doesn't seem a way out for me." No. Jesus has a way out for you. All you have to do is reach out for him first. His arm is not so short that he cannot dig down into any pit and lift you up and out. And he will for the asking. Pray this prayer with me right now, will you? And receive Jesus Christ personally into your heart. He's coming very, very soon. And his coming is a coming of judgment for unbelievers. And for an unbelieving world, don't be part of that. Be part of the remnant today, won't you? Pray this prayer aloud with me right now.
Say, "Lord Jesus Christ,
I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion. Get Holy Spirit baptized. Get into the Word of God in community where people can teach you the Word. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the first evidence of Jesus' presence is a change of attitude. And if you reach out to Him, He will change your attitude and change your life. Let's talk more about the remnant next week. God bless you.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes, along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.